Our reading this evening is taken from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 2 to 13. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 2 to 13, and it is on page 434 of the Pew Bible. Starting at verse 2. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazion-Tamar, that is in Gedai." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary to your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Israel, Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord.
Well, good evening. I was preaching a sermon this afternoon. Well, not exactly a sermon. I was telling the story at the Hub, which is just a little less official than you are tonight. And so I'm quite used to, in the middle of the story, half of the congregation getting up and wandering off somewhere else to play with their toys, because that's what happened in the Hub. So if you get a bit bored and you feel that you want to wander off and do something else, then it won't faze me. But I was spoilt for choice. I was given three passages to look at this evening, all very much on the theme of help. One of them was one of David's psalms, and if you've read the psalms, you will know that there's quite a number when David just seems to call out for help. He's in deep trouble, and there's some wonderful lessons there. One of them was from Jonah, and that's Jonah's prayer from a real crisis situation, as he'd been swallowed up and he thought his life had been lost. But I chose this one because it really seems to go very much with what we heard this morning. So we're going to be looking at a cry of help from God's people. The events that we looked at this morning in 2 Chronicles 7 happened during Solomon's reign. Solomon had been a great king. He reigned for 40 years. And during his reign, the land of Israel reached its sort of greatest extent. And there was a great amount of peace. His father had to fight battles to get that land. But during Solomon's reign, things just settled down. And we read this morning how the temple had been built, and then the people stood in God's presence. and God made those promises to his people, which we will look at in just a minute. But you know, after Solomon died, everything began to fall apart, and God had warned them that it would happen. David's sins, although he was a great man of God, and he disobeyed God, and he did some really serious things, and God had warned him that eventually there would be consequences. And after Solomon died, the kingdom began to split apart, and there was civil war between the northern part of the kingdom and the southern kingdom. The north was we known of Israel, and they were the ten of the tribes were there, and then the southern part was Judah, and two of the tribes were positioned there. And they started to fight each other, and there were all sorts of issues. And it was very much an up-and-down period of time then. There were kings who weren't too bad, who did seek to obey God's word, and there were some pretty bad kings as well. And eventually we come to this passage here, and this is the southern kingdom, Judah. This is Jehoshaphat, who was king there, and he met a crisis, quite a crisis to deal with. A cry for help was what went up. He was told that the enemies were coming. The armies had come together from Moab and from Ammon, and that they were coming to attack. And he was told that there was a huge army facing them. And what were they actually going to do? Just before I continue, I want you to be clear that what we learn tonight isn't some sort of formula which you plug in and this will how your crises will work through. But we can learn from them. And the fact is that when you hit a crisis, it's so different for all of us. Some crises are long coming, and we've got time to react and to think and to pray about them. Some things just hit you completely out of the blue, and you are completely unexpected. And the way we deal with those might be quite different. But what does Jehoshaphat do with the people? First of all, the people get together. He calls the people together, and we're told that the people come from every village and every town from the area. And not just the soldiers, but the whole families come together. We read about the little ones being there as well. So the families all come together, and they come to God's temple. Get together. The people meet at the place that God told them to come to, that we heard about this morning. When you face a crisis, and when we face a crisis, perhaps as a church or as individuals, there are so many opportunities to come together and to pray together. There are home groups. I hope that if you've had the opportunity that you're part of a home group, and they are so valuable, a small group of Christians that can pray together and pray around you. There's the prayer ministry that takes place each Sunday morning and evening. Deirdre's going to be available after this service, and we can pray for one another. There are friends. It may be that you can pray together with one person or two people. There's pastoral prayer meetings. There's overseas mission prayer meetings. There are so many opportunities. Do we take the opportunity to use them? Sometimes when you hit a crisis, you find yourselves in a situation that you just can't seem to pray yourself. You just don't know what to do. Some of you will know that Anne and I, our second child was a girl, and Eleanor became very, very ill when she was 6 months old and was rushed into hospital. And 3 days later, she died. It was a crisis that came absolutely out of the blue. We were in a situation when we just didn't know what to do. We called on the Lord, and that was all that we could do. There was no formula, nothing that we could follow. And in many ways, particularly after her death, we really struggled. And what helped, not just necessarily right at that time, but even as time went now, just to know that people were coming alongside us and praying with us. And that was so important and such a help for us. There may be times when you come into a situation and you just don't know what to pray. You really don't. And you're really struggling with a situation. Well, come alongside someone and get them. And sometimes they're in a situation when they will pray for you. They will say things that you just can't at the moment. And so that chance to pray for one another is so important. One of the things perhaps we're not so good at in the church is what I call impromptu prayers. We do have a lot of prayer meetings, a lot of opportunities, but maybe we're not so good at just stopping at the right time to pray. As part of the leadership, you know, we looked at this a couple of years ago and we said we really needed to be more proactive. You know, when we had a leadership team meeting, we should keep stopping. You know, when we were talking about something, we should then stop talking and pray about it. And then move on to something else. Stop talking and pray about it. I'd like to say we've got it sus, but I don't think we have really. We still tend to fall back into old habits, which is to do lots and lots of talking and only a tiny little bit of praying. And I think that's something that as a church we really do need to learn so much more, that when we come again to situation, just stop and pray together. So much more important. Yes, we do need to talk things through, but to pray together. And when you come together, going back to our own our situation, there were people who came alongside us and said things and prayed with us, and that helped. There were people who came alongside us who didn't know what to say, so they gave us something to eat. They brought something. And that helped as well. There were a few people who came alongside us and said things that didn't really help and were quite difficult to hear. And then there were a few people who actually avoided us. And later on, they came and apologized and they said, we're sorry. It's just that it was so difficult and so awkward. And because we just didn't know what to say, we actually kept out of your way. And actually, that was not a good thing. Even when people, you come together, if you pray together, yeah, we get it wrong. We might say the wrong thing. But the worst thing is not to come together at all. The worst thing is to actually avoid the situation. So come together. The people did that. They came together to pray about the situation. I've stolen some of these from the actual videos that we've been watching. This is about being informed, get informed. See what Jehoshaphat actually does here. He starts to remind God about things. Why does he do that? He reminds God of who he actually is. He reminds God of what he's actually done in the past. And he reminds God of his promises. And we heard those promises this morning. If my people will humble themselves, I will hear them. If my people will come to this place, the temple, I will hear them. And Jehoshaphat reminds God of those promises, as all that time later they're standing there before God. Why does he do that? Has God got a short memory? Does God actually need reminding of these things? And you know, this is a common pattern through the scriptures and through people in crisis situations again and again. If we'd looked at the prayers of David, we would have found the same thing coming up as David prays. He reminds God of who he is. Well, it's not for God's benefit. It's for our benefit. It's for us to remember that we have a great God who can deal with this situation. That we have a great God who in the past has never let us down and has always been there for us. And we can remind ourselves of God's promises as we read through the scriptures. And it's such a good thing to know some of those promises. And if we know the scriptures well, if we start to learn just a few verses, and they come to mind, and you come in a situation and you remember that particular verse. So it's not about reminding God because he's forgotten. It's about reminding me because I've forgotten, or I might forget. So it's about informing God of the situation. I've also stolen this one. Get indignant. I have a question for you. Is it okay to get angry? What do you think? Is it okay to get angry about something? Let's take it a bit further. Is it okay to get angry with God? I don't know if you caught the note of indignation in Jehoshaphat's prayer. Let me just read it to you again. And see if you can catch it again. He says to God, "Here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance." It's quite accusation, isn't it? You could just catch that. You told us not to attack these countries. You told us to leave them alone, and now look what has happened. Doesn't sound terribly reverential, does it? Remember the in Acts, when the apostles were told to stop preaching. And they have the same sort of thing comes up, that they were cross about this. Some of the apostles had been imprisoned for preaching, and they said on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David." Again, see that reminding God of who he is and what he's done. And then, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Again, you can feel that note of indignation. They're cross that this has happened, that these people are going, trying to stop them from spreading God's word. Is it okay to get angry with God? Well, the point is that God made us He made us with our intellect. He made us with our passions. He made us with our emotions. And if deep inside you're really boiling, you're really cross about a situation, you can't hide it from God. You can't try and smooth it over. So we need to be honest and open before God. And when we were talking about this in our home groups, I was just thinking, I said, when did I last get really cross about a situation I was praying about? When I was looking at something that was so unjust, I thought, that really is awful, that really shouldn't be happening. My problem, I think, is that I'm just too easily a bystander, just watching what's going on. And yes, I pray about it, but am I really passionately looking at these situations? Because when you get indignant, you get involved with a situation. If you're indignant, you can no longer just be a bystander, watching on the sides what's happening. So when we read about issues and crises, yes, we should be getting indignant. And I think we should be getting cross about these situations. And then coming before God and telling him and sharing that with him. And then finally, get ready. Jehoshaphat ends his prayer by saying, Lord, we do not know what to do. We really don't know what to do. We cannot face this army. We don't know what the answer is to this situation. And what do they do? So what do they do? First of all, they stand together and wait. Now, this isn't easy stuff. There's an army on their doorstep, a huge army coming up against them. And the people are together. Can you picture them in the court of the temple? And they're standing and they're waiting. They've poured out their heart. Jehoshaphat has poured out his heart before God. And now they're waiting. The whole families, but their little ones, the babies, the children are standing there together. And they're waiting. And waiting can be so hard when we want God to answer and to act straight away. But they listened to God's response. Now, we didn't read the whole passage, and God speaks through someone called Jahaziel, who's a Levite, so one of the priestly defendants. And God speaks to him and he tells him what he should tell the people. And God's response is that they need to go out against the enemy, but that they will need to do absolutely nothing. God says, this is my battle. And so they hear God's word, and what do? They worship together. Now, we sung one of the first song that we sang tonight. And we worshipped God. And we talked to God and we said to him in that song, you know, that we bless his name when the sun is shining bright, when everything's going well for us, and we bless his name. But then we also sang, but we bless his name when things start to go wrong. And that is so difficult. It's not about pretending that the situation isn't bad. That isn't about putting a happy smile on your face and pretending that everything's okay. But it is a scriptural principle that even when things are hard and difficult, we bless God's name. How could they do that? This great army coming up against them. And if you read further on, we'd see that they do what God says. They obey him. God says, go out against them, march against them. And as they're marching out, we tell him that people are singing God's praises and they're worshipping him. But what happens is exactly what God said. What happened was that the enemies, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they come together and they start to fight each other. Instead of fighting God's people, Israel, they turn against each other. They kill each other. They defeat each other. And when the people of God come against them, finally, there is nobody to fight. In fact, all they do is they find the remains of the armies, all their spoils and their weapons and everything they had with them, and the people just pick it up and take it back with them in Jerusalem. And so it happened exactly as God promised, that it was his battle. He sorted it for them. This is not easy. As I said at the beginning, this isn't a formula. This isn't to say, if we do these things, then our problems will just melt away. It may well be that we will go through this situation. We will suffer. But if we come together and pray together and share with one another in every situation that we possibly can, if we listen to God's voice, if we wait on him, if we get indignant, if we get involved, then we will find that God will be with us. And as we look back on a situation, we will see the way God has worked in our lives. So the people prayed, they waited on God, and they acted on what they understood and what God told them to do. And God did the rest. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you that you are a God who listens to us. We heard that this morning and we hear it again, that you want us to come before you, to bring our prayers, to bring our crises, to share them with you. We thank you that we can support one another. We thank you for all the opportunities that we have as a church to pray together. Lord, forgive us for the times when we just don't make use of those opportunities. Forgive us for the times that we try and go it alone and sort out our own problems. Thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. We've sung that, Lord, that we know that in the past you have watched over us, that you've provided everything that we need. Forgive us for the times in the crisis that we forget that. And thank you, Lord, that you are a God who reigns on high. We remember who you are. We remember your greatness. Lord, teach us how to wait in those difficult times. Teach us how to bless your name and to worship in those difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen.